It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. We have another great one today. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL, and then we're going to really dive deep into the Colts news and really the Colts troubles so far 2 weeks into the year. But really, this all spans to the offseason of last year when Ballard said that all the troubles were fixed and there's nothing to worry about. But here we are. But we're going to get right into the NFL news. Once again, I'm Owen Pulley alongside Max Gilly and Lucas McKee. But we're going to start right off. We had our pick'em earlier, but we're going to just talk about these real quick. The Chiefs beat the Chargers. I do want to talk about this game real quick with Justin Herbert. Had that nasty bruise injury or rib injury. Could have been either cracked ribs or bruised ribs. I don't think they really 100% no yet, but I think he's supposed to return this week.
I thought it was something about a fractured rib cartilage, and he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. I know there's talks about him coming back this week, but if he's... I mean, yeah.
I also saw different things saying he was day-to-day as well, so I haven't got a full... I haven't seen a full 100% yes or no or no right. on him for sure.
He went down and then, like... immediately throw a dot.
Yeah, it's like, well, he could have ran it and then just, like, right. dropped for, like, that first down, but then threw a 50-yard dot right to the end zone, pretty much, or almost to the end zone, red zone.
Yeah, Patriots win against the Steelers 17-14. The Giants beat the Panthers 16-19.
That was a big comeback. Nice.
That was a big comeback. A lot of close games this week.
I still can't believe the Giants are 2-0 on this year. They're usually like 0-8 by week 8.
0-8 by week 2?
No, 0-8 by week 8. It just feels like they're 0-8 by week 2 usually.
Yeah. Jets come back and beat the Browns. An amazing comeback game. Both New York teams.
There was a lot of comebacks, actually.
Had a big comeback. Won 31-30. Browns. This game, not so close. 24-0. Jaguars win. Very unfortunate game. We're going to get to that later with the Colts news. The Dolphins coming back against the Ravens and winning 42-38. The Buccaneers versus the Saints. The Buccaneers win 20-10. Interesting game there with Mike Evans getting suspended one game for fighting. The Lions looking like an NFL team out there. Hello. 36-27 over the Commanders. A great game. A great game for the Lions, you could say. I mean, they're 1-1 on the season, but really performing like a team that's not the Lions.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson really looking like the first pick.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson working from the outside, working from the inside, 3 sacks, tied the rookie record for most sacks on the Lions as a rookie.
Holding up to his draft pick.
Definitely. What was he, second overall?
Yeah, second.
Correct. Yeah, second overall. I mean, really working well. The 49ers beating the Seahawks 27-7. So I don't know what that says about the Broncos, Max's Broncos, losing that and then losing their Trey Lance out for the year with an ankle injury, and Jimmy Garoppolo going to be the starting quarterback from now on or until further notice. There is Adam Schefter posted last night. There's an incentive for him. That if he plays 25% of the snaps, he makes $250K that game. And if they win, it gets bumped up to $350K. So for the remainder of the season, the games he plays, he's in a chance to win earn $5.6 million in incentives only. Mm-hmm. That's not even including his contract.
That is a great deal by his agent. I need that kind of deal in my life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The Rams beating the Falcons 31-27. The Falcons almost came back from a deficit. They were down 28-3. I know Falcons fans don't want to remember that number, But they came. They almost came back and won, but the Rams just edged them out by 4, 31-27. Cardinals hold off the Raiders 29-23 in another upset fashion.
Another comeback.
Another, or not upset, but comeback, yes, yeah.
No, there was quite a few.
I would say that's an upset, though. I was taking the Raiders in that game.
I was taking the Raiders as well.
The Broncos beating the Texans 16-9. The Cowboys with...
Edging out.
Yeah, the Dak Prescott-less Cowboys beating the Bengals. Joe Burrow is just not the Joe Burrow we saw last year.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be the Super Bowl curse.
I don't know, man. The Packers just dominating on Sunday night television, national television. Aaron Rodgers always doing good things. I mean, it's a home game. It's Sunday night football. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers against the Bears. 27-10, Packers win. The Bills putting on a masterclass of football. 41-7 over the Titans on Monday night football. And rounding it out, the Eagles had a great game. Slay Jr. had a great game. I want to read his stat line real quick.
He had like two, and he had more catches on Justin Jefferson than Justin Jefferson had on him.
Darius Slay Jr. had, I want to go read his stat line.
Two interceptions,
but it doesn't even like show all of his stats here. But he had a tackle. He had like four. He had two dropped picks that were really close, and then a couple. Yeah. So an overall pretty good game for him. Had a good showing there. But that's going to round off our talking points of scores. I want to move now into the Colts section of it. Obviously, the Colts 0-1-1. Still, technically, in baseball terms, if you want to think about it, they're only a half game out of first place. Because if the Titans lose next week, they're going to be 1-2-0. But if the Colts win, they're going to be 2-1-1. Or sorry, 1-1-1. So they'll have less wins, but they'll have more. Or they'll have the same amount of wins, but less losses. So they'll be in first place. So the Colts just out of first place. But they've been struggling. The big talking points in the offseason was the defense was a little iffy there with the leave of Matt Eberflus to Chicago as the head coach. I mean, the kicker was a position that was going to be talked about, and then depth at wide receiver. Now, the Colts kind of worked on that in the offseason with the depth of wide receivers, but they did that by drafting. They didn't get any free agents playing wide receiver. I know there was talks about Julio Jones coming. There was talks about Odell Beckham Jr. coming when later in the season when he got back from his ACL injury that happened in the Super Bowl. But none of that happened. And there's talks about with the quarterback, about Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan coming in. But Matt Ryan just hasn't been showing out right now. And Carson Wentz has been, I mean, he's been doing pretty well in Washington. I don't know if that was the issue there, if Indianapolis was the issue, or if Carson Wentz was the issue. The highest paid offensive line should not be performing how they're performing right now. It's the highest paid offensive line in the NFL. And Matt Ryan is running around like a chicken with his head cut off as soon as he snaps the ball. Jonathan, you have the best running back in the league. Jonathan Taylor has been performing well when he gets touches, but you're not going to get as many touches when you're down so much that you got to get the ball down field deep and quick. So the Colts just overall right now, and I do want to ask you guys the question, is Frank Reich in the hot seat as of week two?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's first head coach to get fired, and I hope he is too.
It's week two of the season, and I think that's the only thing that may say him. But as we know with Irsay, he tends to sometimes listen to the fans, and he wants this Colts team to be successful, so he would be the reason why we lose Reich. But again, it's week two of the season, and yes, I understand you haven't been playing so well against crappy teams. The big thing I want to know is if the Chiefs absolutely demolish the Colts in Indianapolis, then we may have another conversation. But again, it's week two of the season. You don't basically blow up your team after week two. There's no reason to do it at all.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to start from scratch 2 weeks into the season. But I think it's one of those things that things that they might have to. They might have to start late.
It's been like this for a couple of years now with Reich. It's been bad play calling with Reich for the last couple of years. So it's been him and not necessarily our quarterbacks, but our quarterbacks have been sometimes. Carson Wentz was, I mean, he did make a lot of stupid decisions. That wasn't really his or the play calling's fault, but there are a lot of play calls where we have points right in front of you and you don't take them, the easy points, or it's fourth and six and you want to go for it when it's your own 40. That's bad play calling.
That's like high school football.
Yeah, that's exactly. So it Reich has to go, and Gus Bradley has to change up something about that defense.
There's more holes in that defense than Swiss cheese right now.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have Trevor Lawrence come out there throwing almost perfect against that defense and expect to host Patrick Mahomes in Indianapolis, thinking it's going to be any easier or any better. It's going to get way harder. It's Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns in week 1 first game against Arizona's defense and just looked amazing again against the Chargers' great defense. If the Colts want to really be a good team and show that they're contenders, like everyone's been talking about in the offseason and how they were hyped up to be, something's got to change, especially that offensive line too. Like you said, Matt Ryan is running around and doesn't have a lot of time and has to throw the ball and is making bad decisions.
By the way, this is Patrick Mahomes' first time playing in Lucas Oil Stadium for the first time in his career, and it's going to be a sea of red out there in Indianapolis. Sold out game, but a lot of the fans travel really well in Kansas City, especially for their football compared to their baseball team. But I mean, the Colts just are gonna have to show out on Sunday. They're gonna have to show up and show out. This is a big game for them. Cannot start off the season 0-2-1. But we were talking about before the season that they get a win, they get to go 5-1 in their division, and right now they're 0-1-1 in their division. I mean, and we said that that one loss could go to the Titans, and so far they have a tie to the Texans and a loss to the Jaguars.
Right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the best in the AFC South.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
That's
they're the only team with a win.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just, this isn't even a good division. I don't even want to watch the Colts right now.
The AFC South is easily, definitely the worst division in the league.
We get to see the Colts on national TV because they're the CBS game of the week.
Yay.
Against the Chiefs. So yep. Everyone will get to see, but the Colts probably get destroyed.
Here's the thing, though. The Colts would be the type of team to tie to the Texans, lose to the Jags, and then beat the Chiefs two touchdowns.
Honestly, that's been
hope. Especially if you get Shaquille Leonard back there, the captain of that defense, the heart and soul of that defense and team. Some would say, you get him back in there, which is looking like it's about to happen. He's said some stuff leading up to it. You get Pittman back in there with Pierce. Pierce might not be in there for concussion protocol, but Pittman back in there. That way, you have at least someone to rely on 100%. And then if they're double teaming Pittman, you have someone else to check down to. And then you have Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor. If you have Pittman back, you get the run going, and then it's better when you have a full healthy team. There's with a lot of people missing, I think they had 5 players out, I believe, for week 2 is already crazy. So just get a healthy team against this healthy Chiefs team, and I see that the Colts could do it. But if the Colts lose this game, I'm not picking the Colts to win a game the rest of the year until they win. So
I do want to move over to the defensive side of the game. I mean, Kenny Moore has just been underperforming this year.
Yeah, I think I have a theory that he might be you know how teams tank? I think he might be trying to do that because they didn't pay him. He might be doing, but I mean, I hope not, and it's just a little mess up and he's just a little rusty, but I mean, I really hope, because he's really good, but if he's playing like this, missing those tackles like that, leaving men open, It's not a good sign for him.
But the big thing that I'm upset with the Colts news about this is that, I mean, Kenny Moore's been playing terrible right now. Flat out, just terrible. That's all. Yep. That's the only way you can put it. He's been underperforming, and Isaiah Rodgers
is not even playing.
Playing special teams only.
Why?
He's not even playing defense right now. Why is he not getting a chance at defense?
He was so good in training camp. When I went, just to the one I went, who knows how many he could have had during the whole training camp, but just when I went, he had four interceptions. Four. He had four interceptions just the day I went on team practice when they were running routes and plays in the red zone and stuff. But he's a phenomenal corner, and I don't know why they haven't played him. They have I don't know who they have in place of him right now. I can't remember who it is, but he's a great corner. They need to definitely put him in the mix.
Another name is Stephon Gilmore. I mean, he's
had
to be
him matched against a tight end over the game.
He's supposed to be a big ad in the offseason, having a veteran cornerback, but he's 32 years old. You're not going to get peak performance out of a 32-year-old corner. No, I'm not saying that he's this terrible, terrible player, and he's awful and whatever, but, like, he's 32 years old. He's not going to play up to performance. You can't pair an older guy with – you can't pair an older guy with a guy who's underperforming. That's just two negatives. Now, they say in math, two negatives make a positive when you're multiplying. But in the NFL, two negatives do not make a positive.
Yeah, two negatives just end up screwing your team over. I mean, it's just embarrassing that the Colts have been playing this horrible against Jacksonville, and it's been like that for 8 years in a row. I saw some stats since 2003. In a span of 361 regular season games, the Colts have only been shut out three times, and all of which have been against the Jaguars. That's courtesy of Zach
Kiefer.
I don't know if it's exactly in Jacksonville all the time, but I would assume so. I don't know what it is about Jacksonville.
I do want to say this, though. It's 100%, like this year, for sure. It's 100% coaching. On paper, this team, great, phenomenal. On paper, coaching, it's got to change. Gus Bradley's defense, they were getting beat on tricks. Their own tricks weren't even working. DeForest Buckner had no QB. He had no QB hits or pressures.
Well, I do want to talk about this real quick with the coaching. Think about who Frank Reich's offensive coordinator was just 2 years ago. Nick Sirianni. He's 2-0 as the head coach in Philly right now. Who was his defensive coordinator last year? Matt Eberflus. He's 1-1 in Chicago, who's in a terrible football, NFL, professional team situation right now. With how they're managing cap space, with how they're working with players, how they're doing everything. Eberflus is 1-1. Reich with Gus Bradley. The offensive coordinators, can't think of it right now. They're 0-1-1 right now with everything. So do you think it was a Reich thing? Do you think it's a Ballard thing with making these decisions for this? Now, I think that Reich and Ballard are a pair when they go. Most GMs and coaches are. I think that when the head coach goes, the GM goes in most situations. I think that Indianapolis will be a situation like that. I think if Reich goes, Ballard will go, and vice versa. But I think that Reich is going to go before Ballard. But
I think Ballard has even one more year of this year. If it doesn't go. If the Colts don't even make playoffs and it's a negative,
he's done.
He's done. If they make playoffs, he's not done. But Frank Reich, if we lose another game, I'm surprised now he's not gone. Actually, I was joking around, hoping it would happen. He was getting fired during the middle of halftime during that game, but I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. I say if the Colts lose another game, he's getting fired, even though he should be fired now. And then bring Sean Payton in. Sean Payton can come in.
Yeah, that would be a definite thing to see. Week 13 is the bye week for the Colts. I think you said if the Colts don't make the playoffs, that Frank Reich is out, and I 100% agree with you. But I was thinking that at the start of the season, But now that they've started 0-1-1 to the Texans and the Jaguars, now I don't want to overreact to anything, but I think that if he's not, if the Colts are not 500, or if they're not 500 or better, I think they got to be above 500.
Yeah.
Come week 13.
No.
I think that he's fired.
We also got to look back at, especially if you're a Colts fan, don't lose hope yet, because look back at when the Colts were 1-5 and then pushed and made the playoffs. And then they, I believe that was the year they made, they went to the AFC championship. No, that was 2014. I don't remember when the Colts went 1-5 and then ended up making the playoffs.
That was later.
I think that was with Andrew Luck.
It was, I think it was
2014 when we went to the AFC championship?
Yeah.
I think it was.
That was Deflategate.
Yeah, exactly. It was Deflategate when our linebacker Jackson picked it off and said, hey, the ball.
I think, they had a motto that was the year they started off 1-5.
Yeah.
And then they had like one and all, you had to like win the next game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was, they were 1-5 and, the quarterback though was Andrew Luck. The Colts do also have a Super Bowl quarterback, Matt Ryan, who I mean didn't win the Super Bowl, but been in the Super Bowl, been under
had
pressure.
A 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So let's we'll just see what's gonna happen.
So I've been looking ahead at the schedule. By week 7, they will have played the Titans twice, and they will have had the second game against the Jaguars. If we're thinking of getting them out before week 13 with the bye week, it's going to have to be between week 8 when they take on the Commanders, just for the fact that if they lose to the Titans twice and the Jaguars twice, I mean, that's when you blow it up. You don't blow it up week 2. You blow it up when you're basically out of the division, because that would mean truly there will be no chance whatsoever for the Colts to really make any
exactly
noise.
With the division being as bad as it is, Colts definitely still have a chance, just as much as any other team in this division. But
like I said, they're only
truly half a game.
Yeah, truly half a game out. I mean, yeah, they can win this game.
So
if the Titans, or excuse me, the Jaguars. We're saying the Jaguars in first place, but if the Jaguars lose, they'll have the same amount of wins as each other. But the Jaguars will have one more loss than the Colts.
Yeah, so there's really no need to lose hope, but definitely worry a little bit for some of the defense, or not defense, for some of, I mean, that, but for some of the coaching, I do think it'll be fixed. Something's going to happen. Some players are going to step up. Jonathan Taylor, first of all, at the end of that game, looked absolutely angry. That run, it ended up being one of the top 5 plays in the Sunday, but I think some players are going to get fired up and mad and angry, and it's either going to be a good thing or it's going to be the same thing and nothing's going to change.
Big thing is when you take on the Chiefs.
Yep.
Even if you lose, you have to play well. It can't be a blowout.
They throw deep too, and that's been the Colts' biggest weaknesses is deep throws, deep routes.
And another big thing that I do want to talk about is that, who are the Colts going to put on Travis Kelce this week? Who do you think the best player to put on Kelce is?
Leonard will be back. Leonard will be back, and he's going to have a huge game I'm talking 3 picks. I'm talking huge game as in it's a big deal for him, because having Kelce, because
he's going to get targeted a lot.
And yeah, and if Leonard doesn't play, it's going to be Okereke or EJ Speed, but I do believe it'd probably be Okereke, because he's more of a coverage linebacker. I think it'd be Okereke if Leonard's not in there, but if Leonard's in there, so it would 100% be Leonard with a little bit of safety help.
Yeah, and they're running right now Bobby Okereke, EJ Speed, and Zaire Franklin at the linebackers, and with the return of Shaquille Leonard, I do believe that Zaire Franklin will either be on the bench or move somewhere else.
And actually, I do believe this too. With it being a home game, I'm hoping there's some Isaiah Rogers chants that go in there
to
put it in their head, like, hey, Isaiah Rogers, he's a star. Like, put him in there. He's great. He will help.
I don't know why he's only.
I don't know why he's not in there. And it's baffling.
With the lack of receiver depth right now, I mean, with Pittman, he was out last week. I don't know why Nyheim Hines isn't getting used more.
That was the first target in the game Sunday, but after that, he got a few passes to him, but it wasn't that much.
I want the Colts to use him more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's one of those guys that, sure, he's a running back, and he's a good special teams guy.
He's a receiving back. That's what he is.
Yeah. And even though he's used a lot on special teams, punt returns, kick returns, but you said he's a receiving back. I think that he is a receiving back, and I think that he can even line up slot and catch some passes.
Exactly. And the big thing, I just don't know what's... I guess we were correct. They really are struggling with the wide receiver core this year.
But Ballard said in the offseason, was talking about it, that's not really a big thing right now. They're going to... I mean, they drafted a lot of... Or they drafted enough receivers. They have young receivers, but they didn't get any...
Well, they can say experience. All they want, but right. That doesn't mean... Yeah, that it's going to be correct.
I don't think they expected Pittman and Pierce to get hurt so quick, too, as well. But also, Campbell is a decent receiver in there, and so is Doolin. But Doolin dropped passes. I mean, no, Doolin actually looked pretty good. He did drop a pass, but he did look pretty good, taking some big hits and getting right back up. Pattman, great preseason, but where's that at now? Is it at now? Three big drop passes in 2 weeks. Yeah. That's not good. Three big dropped passes. He has touchdown drops and one drop that was for a huge first down. They can't do that. That's where that receiver core has to come
in. We can just go through the receivers right now.
We can go through everything.
I mean, you got Michael Pittman Jr., who's hurt, right? Or he was hurt. He's going to come back.
Looks like he should be back.
But... obviously, doing Michael Pittman Jr. things. You have Alec Pierce, who is hurt.
Concussion protocol.
And dropped some passes in week one. And
a touchdown pass.
Yeah, a touchdown pass. You have Ashton Doolin, who dropped a couple passes.
He still looked decent, though.
Michael Strahan. I don't think he's getting enough touches right now.
He's not. They're not. He's throw it to him.
Desmond Pattman, excuse me.
Dropped too many. You got to do better.
And, Paris Campbell has looked pretty good. I think I want to get him more touches, too.
Yeah, Paris Campbell can run the deep routes as well, get him a little stutter, and Paris Campbell.
I mean, there's six guys that they're either underutilizing or just not playing well themselves.
Kiki QT on the practice squad. I mean, he's elevated now because of Pittman. He'll probably still be elevated, actually, because of Pierce, if Pierce doesn't play. So, but Kiki QT is... he was a great receiver for the Texans. He could be a good receiver for the Colts as well, but see how this all plans out.
Yeah, and that one last thing. I know we're just bashing on the Colts right now. I mean, don't be 0-1-1 in the start of the season. You're going to have a bunch of teenagers yell at you.
It was supposed to be to the top bottom five teams in the league as well.
I mean, those are lottery pick teams.
Yeah.
I know there's no lottery in the NFL, but, it's a term you use, lottery pick teams. Bottom 10 teams in the league. You learn something new every day if you didn't know that listening out there. But the big thing is, with the offensive line, you have the highest paid offensive line in the league, and you're just struggling. I mean, Quentin Nelson he's a great offensive lineman. He didn't really perform 100% in Jacksonville.
Quentin Nelson looked good.
I think he looked good.
The tackles on the outside.
I think that
Brandon Smith and Pryor, the tackles, our inside guys are Pittman, almost a Pittman. Kelly... Glowinski and Q are doing their thing. I mean, except for when you have Glowinski and Brandon Smith double teaming a linebacker for some reason. You have Josh Allen then coming through and getting the sack. But
Josh Allen, not the quarterback.
Yeah, not the quarterback, but the number 41 for Jacksonville. But it's just.
Yeah. I know Quentin Nelson has been performing well. I would like to see him perform a tiny bit better.
I was gonna say. And Brandon Smith, tackles too. Brandon Smith, that contract isn't looking too good now that the Colts paid him. It wasn't a big contract, but it's still big enough to not be. It shouldn't be. The Colts have the Eagles' backup tackle starting at Matt Ryan's blind side.
Right.
That is not okay. I mean, it's still better than Eric Fisher, so that can't get any worse than that. So, the I don't know how to pronounce Bermard. Bermard, how do you pronounce his last name? The lineman we the Colts drafted, Bernard, I think. I think that's how you pronounce that.
I do want to say something real quick. It is it's Danny Pinter. Gluinski isn't a Colt.
That's what I meant.
Danny Pinter.
I was thinking of last year.
But yeah, it is kind of just replace the last name. It's kind of the same thing right now.
Yeah.
Danny Pinter kind of underperforming.
Yeah. So Danny Pinter is a little bit. Yeah. He's. But I don't know. It's. I think.
Yeah. The Colts just overall just
it's,
not.
It,
great.
It's just speechless right now. That's why. It's. I don't. Exactly, speechless. I just don't know.
There's insane. Nothing we can really say other than just these past two games have been just utterly embarrassing.
And it's crazier because even Colts players know that, and they've been saying it as well. And that's why I think someone's gonna eventually get mad, and something's gonna snap into these players, or something's not gonna snap, and then they're gonna get mad and still play the same way.
I mean, I guess you can say this may have humbled them because everyone was having all of their expectations on them. And then you go and don't perform against two of the absolute worst teams in the league.
Yeah, especially when you do all this talk about how last year the Jacksonville Jaguars were the team to knock you out of the playoffs. You talk all this during the offseason about getting your get back on them, winning. It's going to be a different year next year going to Jacksonville and not only losing once again, but getting shut out, absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah, just not overall great in Indianapolis right now. But, I mean, we bashed them enough.
Yeah, I can't say things are going to change and nothing changes.
Right. I mean, we're going to come back next week, next Tuesday. Now, Thursday, we're going to pregame the NFL. But Tuesday, we're going to come back and talk more about the Colts and see how right or wrong we were in this episode, talking about next week.
It's a more happier Tuesday next Tuesday.
Definitely.
And we are here with some good news that the Colts won prediction 24-7. I don't know.
Wow. I think
I don't think that's the actual prediction. I was just off the top of my dome.
I think the Colts are going to lose 35-21.
I don't even think they would score 21 if they lose. But if they do win, it's going to be it'd have to be a Jonathan Taylor and Pittman game.
Yeah, definitely.
On that Kansas City defense, it'd have to be. That's the only way, I feel like.
If they're going to win, it's going to be a close one. There's no way it's like a blowout of any kind. 100%.
It's going to be offense. That's all it's going to be. Or it's just going to be Kansas City.
Yeah. I swear, if it's just Kansas City,
I'm turning off the TV.
If they're up by four touchdowns by half, I'm not watching.
Yeah, definitely not. But we're going to go to a little break here and then come back with a little bit of baseball news, and then we're going to get right into high school football. Ben Davis taking on Lawrence North this Friday. You're listening to Sports Spotlight on Indy's Giant 90.9.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033. Or visit alanon.org/hope.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. Indy's John 8.9 is playing a little bit of Simon and Garfunkel. Coming back here.
That's a funny word.
Garfunkel?
Yeah.
But we have a little bit of news. For the first time in 6 years, the Mets are making the playoffs. For any of you Mets fans out there, probably not in Indianapolis, but no. I know I am. But the Mets making the playoffs for the first time in 6 years. They clinched last night with a win over the Brewers. The Astros clinched a spot about a week ago, and the Dodgers clinched Bobby Shmurda.
Where'd that hat go?
What?
Have you seen the music video?
No.
He threw his hat up and it never came back. So there's a lot of memes.
Where
of
is
like,
Bobby Shmurda now?
He's
I have a cramp in my thigh.
I was about
thigh.
To say, yeah. Owen just got a... I wish you guys would have been able to see Charlie the Horse. Face. The face he made.
I tried moving my leg and I got a cramp. But yeah,
stuck, but...
the Dodgers clinched about 2 weeks ago. But yep. Where is Bobby Shmurda now?
He's out.
Didn't he go to jail for a little bit?
For 7 years.
Seven years?
He's okay. out, but... he's been making music. He's living a happy life. I've seen a lot of videos of him. He's just very actually energetic and always laughing.
Well, that's awesome. Good.
Always dancing, too. But, yeah. So, congratulations to your Mets.
Yeah. And another big thing, going back to football real quick. Did you see Dan Orlovsky's thing on Monday Night Football?
No.
He's sitting there talking about the Colts. Nobody wants to talk about the Colts right now. But the Bills and the Titans, they're doing their pregame. And Dan Orlovsky goes to sneeze, holds it in, and all you hear is a fart. He held it in a sneeze and ended up farting on air.
Wait, I was
it's so funny.
I really wish I would have watched.
I'll
Wait,
show you it after
was,
the
It was pregame?
After the show. Yeah, it was Josh Allen was like throwing passes.
I really wish I would have been watching the pregame because that would have been... See, if I would have watched the pregame, I would have been in a better mood because I was playing Madden, and I was waiting for the Philly Vikings game to start because I was just gonna watch that because I knew this game was gonna be that game was gonna be a blowout.
I was out bowling in my league.
Yeah, so I was playing Madden, and the game was making me mad, and my controller ended up breaking. So,
magically, it just broke in your hands, right?
No, I slammed it on my desk so hard, and it broke. It shattered in one hit, but anyway, yeah, I got mad. I don't have a controller now, and I was like, time to turn on the game, and I was just happy to see that the Titans were losing. But
yeah, that's always good.
I would have had a controller and my happy feelings yesterday if I would have just watched football.
And the Bills are my, I mean, as a Colts fan, I mean, they're second right now. The Bills are my second favorite team, so glad to see them doing well.
Chargers
right now.
Are mine.
Chargers are yours. Max, yeah. You Broncos.
Yeah, not.
Because of Peyton Manning.
My third, mine's Peyton Manning. My Broncos would be second because of Peyton Manning, but I love Justin Herbert, man. Yeah. He's a great quarterback. He's a man, great leadership, too.
Now, Max, I do want to give kind of the board to you real quick. This Friday, Ben Davis taking on Lawrence North for homecoming. Talk about that for a little bit, about how... I mean, obviously, Ben Davis coming off a big win against Warren Central. Mm-hmm. They're undefeated, still in the make 2-0.
Huge win.
Another big make game for them this week.
So we talked about it earlier. You had to perform well against Center Grove, and you had to perform well against Warren Central. They performed well against Center Grove. It was a heartbreaker. Then you get the big win in Warren to get the win there. I'm just so excited about this Giants team this year. There's going to be probably a lot of hype and energy, especially because it's homecoming, but you have to just focus on your opponent right in front of you. That's Lawrence North, because I know they may not be doing so hot this year, but Lawrence North still is a very talented team. Every team in the MIC is, and like we were talking with Nyland, they really do have a chance to win the MIC this year, but they just have to be focused only on Lawrence North. But they haven't won at home yet. And that has been their Achilles heel right now, so they have to get a win at home.
And this is, I was talking about this on the broadcast Friday, this is my first game really since freshman year that I've gone to a game. You will be on that call with Kyle Stout. That'll be a fun game to watch, but I'll be there as a fan, you know, just enjoying my week, you know, having a good game. But then after that, hitting the grind.
Enjoying your homecoming, Owen.
Yeah, I guess so. Enjoying the grind of sports broadcasting. So, Lucas, how did your home school and your high school? How did Avon and Decatur do?
Avon lost. No surprise there. Decatur lost their homecoming as well.
Oh no, Avon does have homecoming this upcoming week.
Yeah, Decatur lost in a heartbreaker as well, 16-17.
Wasn't it against Mooresville?
It was against Mooresville.
No, Mooresville's doing good this year.
I was right this time.
Yeah.
Last week I said Mooresville was Martinsville. Now they played Mooresville.
Yeah. See, there's a difference between Morgan County schools, though, yeah. Right?
But
you have to know that.
You know what, though? I do believe there actually was, I think, like five or six Decatur transfers that are at play at Mooresville now. So it was a really even battled game because when you got other Decatur players on the other side who are obviously better than Mooresville, then you got Decatur going on against Decatur. So that's why it was such a close game. If you would have had Decatur going against Mooresville, it would have went the other way. Mooresville sucks, so yeah.
I don't endorse any of this. I don't know if I'm allowed to speak on this. I don't know.
No, I do have friends at Mooresville though, but yeah. But all jokes aside, Mooresville did get a great victory. They played their hearts out. Decatur did as well. Avon, they did not get a victory. I hope they played their hearts out as well. It was a fun game to watch.
Max, how did Monrovia football do?
They had to take on a Speedway team.
Oh, yeah, homecoming game. I've heard. Yeah. Speedway's homecoming game.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Speedway friends.
It didn't go so hot Speedway for Monrovia.
Speedway's a good football team.
Yeah, Speedway's a good football team. I remember my friend played for Speedway, and I remember going to his games and watching them, and they were good. And
I was expecting them to start out a little better than they did, but Speedway, I think, is proving why they were expected to be very, very much contenders this year. They have a lot of talented kids. They just struggled really to start the season. By the way, Cecina in their conference, Cecina's good this year too. So really that entire Crossroads Conference with Lutheran, Cecina, Speedway, three very talented teams there. And Triton Central too with their quarterback. He's good.
Yeah, I remember hearing Speedway is going to take on Triton Central this upcoming week. That'll be a big game for Speedway. But I do want to review the schedule real quick, and then we're going to wrap this up here. The Colts take on the Chiefs next week, and then the Titans after that. But the Giants taking on Lawrence North this Friday, then Carmel. Then they'll take on Lawrence Central for their senior night, and then they'll take on North Central to wrap up their regular season, and then either play Pike, Avon, or Brownsburg for first round of sectionals. So that'll be a fun next 5 weeks and sectionals, and then hopefully they go on after that. It'll be big there. But yeah, so that's going to do it for the Sports Spotlight. Owen Pulley, Maxwell Gilly, and Lucas McKee here in Indy's Giant 90.9. That was the Sports Spotlight. Thank you for listening. Here's Staying Alive by DJ Khaled and Drake.